Gina, thanks for coming by to talk with us.
Hey, thanks, Dave.
Can you start by telling us exactly what botulism is? It's a term we know, but I think many of us get lost in the science of it.
Yeah, I know. I love the science of it. That's why I'm here partly. But botulism is a bacteria, and it occurs in a lot of places, especially in Alaska. So I just want to make sure that people are aware that it's in the soil, it's in the seawater, it's in sea mammals and marine life. And it's very easy for certain conditions to cause the toxin that botulism produces. That is what actually makes us sick.
Okay, the botulism is around us all the time.
Yes.
But it has to be in the right environment to create the toxin. And I think this is where many of us put ourselves at risk.
Right. And that's why we, you know, do caution people if they're ever canning, you know, or fermenting foods, that they have that risk and that they just have to be cautious. And talking about the environment, and here we are having these really warm winters, and that puts us at a disadvantage too, because normally we can store things outside and we don't have to worry about it, although freezing doesn't necessarily get rid of the toxin that the botulism produces.
Okay. Alaska has the highest rates of botulism appearing in the nation. Is that because of the foods that we eat in our state?
Yeah. Botulism's been occurring. There's been records of it in Alaska for over 100 years. So it's not just because of the advent of plastic and glass that people are having botulism illness. We've had it for 100 years. But certainly storing and fermenting foods with newer products like glass and plastic do put people at increased risk.
How do we reduce our risk?
Well, they say you need to store foods under 37 degrees, and that just those cooler temperatures keep and inhibit the bacteria from being able to produce the toxin. So when you get slightly warmer temperatures and you have any of these mammal or meat products, then you have the risk for the toxin being produced.
I was told the other week that we actually have not had cases of botulism in canned fish in Alaska, at least reported. But there's a risk for it. But I think the key there is if you follow the Cooperative Extension Service guidelines, you eliminate the risk. It seems like guarantee yourself.
Right. Okay. Yep. And that's the proper canning techniques of using high temperature for a certain period of time. That's why we also say with people that do eat fermented foods that you can eliminate your risk for botulism by boiling those foods for 10 minutes. However, that totally changes the food properties, which people probably don't want.
Okay. I guess another scary thing that we hear about with botulism is that it's hard to detect either by smell or sight or taste even. Is that the case most of the time, some of the time?
It's most of the time. Now, I have had some people tell me that they can tell that something's different about a food product and they will avoid eating it because they have a sensitivity to understanding what the taste is. But no, we say no, there's no taste. There's no odor. And so you can't know that you have it. So anytime that you aren't sure that something's been stored under a cool temperature, if it's been in a warm environment with no air able to get to it, like a lid is on it, then that's where the risk comes in.
The symptoms seem to resemble some other illnesses, maybe even the flu, but there are some telltale signs that you may have botulism. What are those?
Yeah, some of the big ones are just dry mouth, and you'll have problems with your vision. Either your eyelids start to get droopy, or you have a hard time keeping your eyelids elevated, or you'll have double vision. So botulism symptoms start from the head down and involves the respiratory function, and that's why it becomes deadly, is because you lose your ability to breathe.
There's an antitoxin?
Right.
And that stops it from progressing, but your body's not fighting it like it does a bacteria or a flu.
It's like attached to your cells, and so it's probably more like carbon monoxide. So you just have to wait for those cells to go through their normal cycle and die and be replaced.
Well, Gina Carpenter, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.